Well, happy Friday, everybody. Hope your week has gone well and you're looking forward to being at church in God's house, worshiping Jesus this Sunday. Please invite someone to come with you. Pray today for God to give you an opportunity to invite someone and for you to have the courage to speak when that opportunity arrives. So you invite someone to church this week and join us Sunday morning. Well, today we wrap up this week in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When I was reading this chapter, I kept having this thought over and over. Man, I'd love to teach on that. And there were just so many things in here that I would really enjoy teaching on. Of course, don't have time to do all of that, but I do want to point out just a couple of highlights. In verses 2-5, he talks about preaching, so to speak. So he says, in this case, moreover, I'm in 1 Corinthians, reading the wrong place. You ever make a mistake? I just made one. Let me get over here to 2 Corinthians. I didn't think that sounded right. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. He said, we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Basically, he's saying that ultimately, if you're going to do ministry and teach and preach and see lives change for eternity, it's not through craftiness, if you will, or deceptive practices and teaching bait and switch and all of that. And it's not through adulterating the Word of God, compromising it, watering it down. It's just through the truth. Now, there are some people who believe and practice this, but they do it with arrogance. Well, that's a different sin. And speaking the truth in arrogance and without compassion is empty and wrong, just as adulterating the truth is wrong. Preaching the truth and doing it with gentleness, with love, clarity is a good thing, but also with tenderness. That's how it's supposed to be done. And that's what preaching and teaching is to be like. And seems like today we've got a lot of preaching that adulterates the truth, compromises the truth, waters it down. And then we're on the other side, we've got some who preach the truth, but they do it with such arrogance and meanness and lack of any kind of tenderness and fruit of the Spirit. And I think God condemns both of those. He goes on in verse 3, if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. In other words, Satan works in people's lives to keep them blind to the truth, to keep them blind to the truth of who Jesus is and their need for Jesus. And when people reject the truth and don't believe, it's because they're allowing Satan to win in their life. And when you preach and teach, when you witness and do evangelism, you have to understand that not everyone is going to see and believe the truth. It doesn't matter how genuine you are, how effective you are, how prayed up you are. Some will see the truth and believe. Others will not see the truth and believe. And it's got nothing to do with you. So we want to do it the right way, because if we adulterate the truth, we don't help anybody. If we use craftiness and deceptive and bait and switch, we don't help anybody. But if we speak with harshness and judgmental attitudes, we don't help anybody. Just declare the truth, and some will see and some will not. Some will believe and some will not. That's just the way it works. He goes on in verse 6 to talk about when you believe, it's like the light of God is shining in your heart, and that illuminates your mind, and you see things differently. I remember when I became a believer, it was like someone had taken blinders off my eyes, and I saw everything in a fresh way, differently than I ever had before. And that's what he's talking about, the light of Jesus shining in our minds and our hearts, illuminating us. He goes on to talk about suffering, but what really spoke to me were verses 10, 11, and 12. Where he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. And that's a long way of saying that on the inside we're dying to self so that we can live on the outside for Jesus Christ. And that when you die to self, you're less likely to give in to the temptation to deny Christ so that people won't persecute you. When you deny self so that you can live for Christ, you're less likely to be swayed by the temptations of this world to go a different way, live a different way, to ignore Jesus or take him for granted. And that in a very real sense, when we suffer for the faith, suffer for the gospel, suffer for Jesus' sake, in a very real way, we are suffering with Jesus. We enter into this fellowship with Jesus, this union with Christ, so to speak. And he suffered. And when we suffer, there's a connection there that is very, very real. And it's similar to what he had said in earlier chapters about they'd already sentenced themselves to death on the inside, so if they died on the outside, they wouldn't be swayed and tempted to compromise so they could live. And his confidence is found in verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. He said, part of my confidence is that I know that the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me and present me to the Father in heaven. And because I know that and I'm confident in that, I'm willing to endure anything that happens in this life. So it's a beautiful chapter. I could teach for hours, but I hope that little bit helps you and encourages you in some way. Hey, God bless you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday in worship, and you pray and invite someone to come with you. And then Monday, we'll pick this up in chapter 5. God bless you, everybody.